making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us for another edition of Abounding Grace. And if you were with us last week, we started a series through Romans chapter 3. And this week, we're going to move a little bit further into Romans chapter 3 and look at the great goal, the great purpose, the great almost thesis of the whole book of Romans. How can a sinner be right with God? That, of course, is the greatest question that could ever be asked by any human being out there. How can you be right with such a holy and a just and a God who is totally pure when we are stained in every way with sin? Well, I want to begin today with a bit of reflection on what the Apostle Paul ends with in Romans 3, verse 20. We ended with this last week, Thursday. He says there, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So that is a very clear statement set as a conclusion to this very dark picture presented about the human race. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Destruction and misery are their ways. That is very, very dark language about our human natures. And the very shocking thing about these words is the apostle was using them to speak and say, look, religious and pagans are in the same boat before God by nature. We aren't any better than they. Are we by nature who have all of these outer blessings better than the Rosie O'Donnells and the Ted Bundys and those who are the really vile of society? Paul says, not at all. I mean, that was the grand conclusion made here. And then he holds out this final statement at the end to expose the darkness of our hearts. And he says what? By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Now, that's a very important statement. So he's saying you, in and of yourselves, can do nothing about your condition. The law set before you is not a means of your own personal righteousness. But actually, Paul says, it reveals just how bad you really are. Now, there are two different ways to respond to something like this. I asked this last week. How do you feel when you have these kind of descriptions come across in God's Word that are so plain and so clear about us? There are always, of course, different responses to these kinds of messages and passages in the Bible. And depending upon your kind of view of yourself and your theology, that will make you respond in certainly different ways, won't it? I mean, most of the reason people don't want to hear about sin and their misery is because they don't like what God has said when He defines it so clearly throughout His Word. The reason I ask that is simply because there are two kinds of theologies in the world. Two systems of righteousness at work. If I could boil these two ways down into two categories, they would be labeled as the glory story and the cross story. The theology of glory and a theology of the cross. Luther, of course, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, made a crucial distinction between a theologian of a cross and a theologian of glory. Let me define that a bit for you, and I'll help you give some categories to things. By nature, we love the glory story. What is the glory story? Well, we all know that we see different things than God, how God sees things. And so God has come to us, and He has clarified the truth of the matter, the truth of our natures, the truth of what happened at the fall in His Word. He revealed that for us. He corrected our false perceptions. But the natural religion that springs up in us is the glory story. And the glory story goes something like this. Somewhere along the line, we were just sort of derailed. And so we have to get back on track by our own efforts and by our own good works. Simply put, the glory story is the way of law, it is the way of human works, it is the way of free will and human righteousness. They're trying to arrive at glory based on what they think is a good and a model life. The cross is a sort of makeup for failures along the way, and the real key mark to the glory theology is that it always considers grace as a sort of supplement, like a vitamin or a steroid shot, to their own wills, and the power to be a model and good person. And they've never been struck with the sense of the horrible reality of their own sinful natures. And this is essentially someone trusting in their own righteousness. What a person like this wants from the pulpit and from the Word of God and from the minister and the preacher and the elders and all of those who lead in the church is flattery, positive thinking, some form of optimistic encouragement to meet the felt needs and build a better positive self-esteem. And that, of course, is the message today. Notice how it's gone from health and wealth, which was really sort of short-lived, to today, a needs focus. It's all about our needs and how to get the blessing, the anointing, as they say, the filled life. And that language is just all over Kenneth Copeland and everyone. This is how you know. Here is the mark of somebody trusting in their own righteousness. They hate sermons that expose the real darkness of their hearts. They hate to think that they are the ones that has the poison of asps under their lips. They think, why does the minister preach on sin and misery? We're tired of it. They can't stand to hear it because they're in another system of righteousness. And those kinds of messages don't correlate with what they believe about themselves and their own natures. And so here's the real crux. They think, now listen to this today because this is so important. They think that the original intent of the law was given to make them better and more moral people. And so sermons on misery, they don't want to hear because they themselves are on the glory road. They are theologians of glory. Let me give you a very good example of this. Let's take something that's very common to us in society today. Let's take an addiction. Let's take alcoholism or an addiction to drugs. What is the law to the alcoholic? Or what is the law to the drug addict? Thou shall quit. Now, the addict can take two approaches to this law, can he? He hears the law, thou shall quit. By nature, he doesn't want to realize that law, of course, thou shall quit. He doesn't want to realize that that law, when he hears it, has only made matters worse. It is shown he is addicted, and so he has a choice. By nature, he will do what? He will trust in his own abilities. So what he does then with the law is, he uses the law to stir up a sense that he can beat it himself. And so with a false delusion, he holds out for himself that he does have the ability to get it all together himself and quit. This is a very good representation of someone trusting in his own righteousness. What was the law for? Thou shalt quit. Well, the law was intended to expose the fact he cannot break away from it himself. And he is totally dependent on something outside of him to free him from the addiction. Now, of course, all analogies break down. And if someone happens in society to break free from the addiction, that's where the analogy breaks down. But the point is I'm translating this right into the purpose of God's law. Paul says in verse 20 of the book of Romans, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. The issue is justification, not sanctification. It's justification. He goes on, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, I want you to memorize that verse today if you're driving. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The church today has produced a whole bunch of people living the glory story. And so they hear the law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And while it should produce a horrible realization of their addiction to sin, they, not wanting to hear about sin, see the law as the answer, and so they trust in themselves. That's why most sermons today really aren't gospel sermons. They're hard-hitting sermons with really are just a bunch of compilations of law. Here's how you live the Christian life. Here's the five steps to this. Here's the five steps to that. All of this comes down to more and more law. Without the recognition, all of this law, at least the way that God defines it, is given initially so that we would recognize we can't do it. The problem is often that nothing is fixed. And so people in their own pride are trying to do it themselves. It's a do-it-yourself mentality. I can do it myself, thank you, when the law should drop them to their knees to expose the total need for God's grace. This is the glory road. I'm upright. I can do it myself. What is a theologian of the cross? A theologian of the cross realizes the law cannot save him, that he cannot keep the law, that he is outright foul before God, that he is full of unrighteousness, and that he needs to hear that because he goes on in his own heart suppressing that truth, he needs to hear the truth of the matter concerning his sin. And so when he hears the law, he doesn't hear the law so as to see it as some sort of remedy to immediately get his life together. Oftentimes, that's what people think it is. It's just about getting my life together. He sees it as making things worse. The law of God is making things worse. The law is uncovering and exposing all the things that I want to hide behind the masks that I put on. All of these outer faces of righteousness. And so a theologian of the cross says, I need something far greater. Driven to despair by the law, which says, let's for instance, thou shall not commit adultery, or thou shall not steal. And if somebody is a thief, he hears that, and he recognizes, I can't stop it. I'm stuck in this sin, which is a picture of being stuck in being dead in trespasses and sins. All of that is the reality. These commandments expose that bigger reality that we are all dead in sins. And so what does he do? He doesn't say, I need some quick fix. These are always false illusions. The theologian of the cross is convicted by the law. He lives a life, and this is what Martin Luther once said, saying, I am an addict. I am an alcoholic. More fundamentally, the big picture is, I am a sinner. And he never stops saying that. And recognizing that he can do nothing about his state, he looks to God and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ as the only answer. It is the cross that does the killing of our sin. And life only comes when we realize that the only righteousness that God will accept is something totally and utterly and foreignly outside of us and given for us, apart from the law, to free us. And that's what Paul is saying here. But now the righteousness of God is revealed what? Apart from the law. It is apart from my own personal law keeping as I put my hope and my trust in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus, recognizing you can do nothing, that you cannot save yourself, and that you are stuck in your sin, and you look outside of yourself to him, God grants and credits to your account the perfect righteousness of Christ, as if you had never sinned or been a sinner. That, my friends, is the gospel. United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Join us for worship this Sunday. Our worship service times are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We promise to preach Christ and Him crucified in the glories of this great gospel. 318-0429 is the phone number. LyndonURC.com is the website. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.